Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. This is Steve Williamson. Mike Costantino is sitting across from me.
And we are back with Raul Grijalva, Congressman from Southern Arizona. Yeah,
one of the great progressive liberal congressmen in the United States Congress. And I wanted to start out this program by asking you about Citizens United, that Supreme Court decision that corporations are people. And I guess what I see when I see the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Sedona, Occupy Phoenix movement, I see people who are feeling disenfranchised, but the vast amount of corporate money pouring into politics. Is it, or should they be worried?
Well, I think as we saw in this last round of elections, And the one that's coming up in 2012, the amounts of money that are going to be spent are going to be obscene. And, efforts at public financing for federal elections, so I support very much, are not going to move in this Congress. Transparency, at least know which corporation is putting in money on those ads so that they have to declare them and people know what's the motivation behind them. That doesn't have to be done. That decision, I think, is probably the most dangerous thing that's happened to American democracy in our history. Money is the use of money to shift the balance of policy. You're seeing some of the consequences of that in this Congress, particularly in the House of Representatives. So the Occupy movement is expression of American people's frustration. When I visited the occupiers in Tucson, it's a cross-section of Americans, you know, teachers that are unemployed, students that graduated and can't find a job, veterans that came back from Iraq and can't find a job and can't get into the right program, on and on and on. And so I think that frustration is best expressed, I think, by the concept they bring. It's a concept of fairness. You know, we've been at the bottom of this decision making. We want it to be fair. We want it to be balanced. And they brought attention to that, and I think that has been very, very good.
And that's what you see on the signs, Congressman. Is you see the corporate involvement, the corporate in the election. The corporate involvement in elections, that you don't vote for corporations, we vote for people. Is there anything legislatively that Congress can do to overcome that disastrous Supreme Court decision?
I think we've corrected decisions, the Ledbetter decision and others in the last Congress. We tackled this as well, and couldn't muster the votes necessary. And I don't think you're going to get them in this particular Congress, particularly in the House. You're not. That at the very minimum, what we were asking for is transparency.
Yes, it seems kind of silly that a decision based on freedom of speech also shields
those
entities that are speaking through their dollars, so to speak.
I think if there's independent committees that are doing ads against me in this next election, I think if it's the Arizona Mining Association, that they should put their name on it, and I have a fighting chance to fight back on what their motivation is without knowing who they are. It's anonymous, essentially. It's dark money. We have no chance to respond until the reports come out.
We have the same problem up here in Northern Arizona. Our congressman voted basically to end Medicare as we know it, but you get constant postcards from mysterious but nice-sounding groups asking us to thank him for helping to get rid of Medicare. It's all corporate money laundered through these various groups. I guess transparency is the solution to it, and then people can at least see what's going on.
And make the decision. American folk are smart. They'll be able to see motivation. The long-term solution is to equal the playing field and have some public finance of federal elections so that so that people run, they're not beholden to, and not totally dependent to money.
It feels like many of the people that occupy various places, Wall Street and whatever, that they have one vote, but the corporations can buy thousands of votes with this anonymous propaganda. And so, I mean, if it keeps going on, it undercuts our democracy, or do you think so?
Well, I see it as one of the most dangerous things that's happened to our democracy. And, I think the counterbalance in the short term is going to be exactly what you said. It's the American people that use their vote to turn the situation around. That's the immediate. I think fundamentally the transparency and equalizing the playing field is not going to happen before 2012. So we're stuck with this jaundiced process for this next election.
Let's. I want to talk for a minute here about, I hope I get the number right. H.R. 1548, the Right to Rent Act. This is dealing with housing and mortgages. As you know, certainly we all know. I'm sure you do. I know I do. People who have, people have lost their houses. People are in the process of losing their homes. And it's sad.
And it's
the personal stories are incredibly sad each and every time, and they're all so different.
This is not happening to people that we don't know. This is happening to people that we know, to friends.
And I know you had some ideas on this.
When we went in the process, and I didn't support it, but we're in the process of helping bail out the banks and the institutions at the beginning of this stimulus process. And part of the motivation was that they were going to deal with the issue of foreclosure and the housing bubble and people losing their homes. And the consequence of that is that minuscule percentages were ever done.
Yes.
And I still think that is a string that the administration has some power over and should use very effectively to force these institutions to sit down and do it correctly. The other issue that we ask for is that, have a judicial aspect to it, like bankruptcy court, where there is a ruling based on the facts before you and it is a binding on both parties. The lending institutions fought that like crazy and it really never got enough traction. That means a judge can say, homeowner A, yes, your house value has dropped by 60%, you're going under. Bank, you renegotiate to reflect a different value.
Yes, that's the hugely. Now,
and then the third thing is the right to rent. And that says that a family in the distress would have the opportunity for 5 years to rent their home at the value that it's at, and at the end of those 5 years to be able to reestablish the mortgage ownership process if it merits it. But at the very minimum, you're keeping people in their homes, you're keeping neighborhoods together, and you're not creating the kind of emotional insecurity that people having to leave their homes is creating. When, one out of six, one out of ten in America is going through this process, that is not a small figure. And in Arizona, it's worse. And in Nevada and Florida, it's just as bad.
Yeah, I could say in Arizona, it seems like more than that because I know so many people. But what you're saying also, with keeping families in their homes, keeping communities whole and without so many empty homes, seems like
And it's a win-win. The bank continues to receive some income other than vacant property.
And everybody's property values stay more stable.
And they stay more stable, and eventually they'll go back up. And eventually, after 5 years, there's a qualified decision about for the homeowner. Do I stay and start paying a mortgage at a different value? Or I've resecured myself. I'm stable economically. I can move on.
This makes so much sense. It absolutely has no chance of ever. You know what I mean?
The other thing is, what happens to these houses? They just get sold for almost nothing to speculators.
No, there's a lot of flipping going on. We see that all over. You buy it, fix it up a little bit, flip it, and you know, it's become an industry.
I was talking to some realtors from the Phoenix area, and they said 60% of the houses that they were selling were now to basically to speculators interested in flipping, not real families buying a home.
No, then they flip it.
Gee, the rich getting richer. How unusual. Congressman, you're also on the subcommittee for natural parks and public lands, and I wanted to just make some comments about that. Sounds like fascinating work to me, and obviously the national parks and public lands are a big thing in Arizona and certainly a big thing in the Sedona area. Tell us about your work on that committee.
When I got there, I chose education and natural resources, my two committees, and for 10 years I've been on both. I don't want to change. And the reason is, in this subcommittee, I was chairman of the subcommittee last year, I'm ranking member now, but the opportunity to do some great things with our public lands, everything from using our public lands to be those laboratories on how we deal in a wide scale with climate change in this country. The use of the public lands, when they interface with communities in urban America in terms of fire suppression and prevention. The opportunity for public lands to preserve some of the most special places in this country is unbelievable. And so for me, it's been a good thing. I mean, I've enjoyed it. I learned a lot when we did the Sonoran Conservation Plan in Southern Arizona. And for me to transition into Congress and get on this committee was a very good thing for me, because, you know, if you're going to work hard, you might as well enjoy the work. And, you know, when you enjoy the work, it's good.
We wanted to thank you for your support of the National Scenic Area up in Sedona.
Yes.
This is really important to
very
people
beautiful.
Here. It is really appreciated, because we know that it was a problem. I think Mike's got another question.
Well,
climate
just
change?
To continue on climate policy, you know, it's become such a divisive thing. Once again, it seems like it would be simple, but apparently we have an entire party that seems to deny climate change, and it influences climate policy.
No, I've been preaching on that committee for a long time.
Right.
That the decisions about the environment and public land can be divisive, got a lot of other political ramifications to it. But if we just pause for a second and let fact and science guide us in a direction, we'd be okay. And
that's
here's
right.
A good example where fact and science are thrown out the door, and we spend our time going after the EPA so that emissions are even more loose and less monitors. We go after PA about mercury emissions, cold, all those things that are scientifically proven is connected to what our climate is going through.
Go ahead.
I just think that if we use fact and science, we would be able to handle these problems so much more effectively.
Yeah, we don't hear a lot of calls for facts and science anymore, at least from the Republican Party. So Republicans out there, independents, let's have factual conversations.
Yeah, demand facts from your representatives. Real quickly, large scale solar. We're in Arizona. I heard that New Jersey is the leading state for solar power in the United States. Arizona should be number one, shouldn't we?
We should be, and you know, we just and we have in the district around Gila Bend, we have a couple of huge solar producing alternative energy, and plus more and more of the manufacturing coming into the country, which is all good. We should be at the cutting edge of that. We should, and you know, to have some of our members of Congress on the Republican side want to kill any tax credit or tax incentives for companies to take the risk to make the investment in an alternative energy is so wrongheaded. But
thank you very much, Congressman, for
absolutely.
Being with it. We really deeply appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
And we've enjoyed talking to you. Hope we'll get to talk to you again sometime. Keep up the good work. Mike.
All righty.
Yeah, we have supporters all over the state. You can hear this interview and other ones on bvid.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.